From Twilight to True Blood, vampires are in the spotlight. Penn State professor Matt McAllister studies pop culture, and WPSU's Lindsay Whistle asked him what makes vampires so appealing.
I want to do bad things with you.
Of course, that was the theme song from the hit HBO series True Blood. Millions of people tuned into that season finale in September. TV shows, books, movies, vampires are everywhere. What's got people so hooked?
I think it's different things about vampires that have got people hooked. Vampire stories are just very flexible, and there are different parts of the vampire narrative that marketers or media creators can play up for different audiences. So with the case of True Blood, you know, one thing about vampires is that they're very sexual, right? With kind of the biting and the blood sucking. And so True Blood really plays that up. It's on HBO, can be much more explicit. And so that combination of horror and sexuality, I think, is a big part of that story.
And then looking at books and movies like Twilight, that was really sort of an exploration of the vampire-human relationship. Do you think it's more to do with these kind of tragic love stories than these scary monsters?
Right. So that's another element of the vampire story, is that vampires can be seen as this tragic hero, the hero that wants something but is flawed in some way, in this case, that they're a vampire. But the flaws can be played for interesting dynamics. So in the case of Twilight, the kind of teenage-looking vampire hero, Edward, he always has this smoldering sexuality, but is constrained from using it. So he's hot-looking, but cannot be really aggressive. And so one could argue that's an interesting dynamic for teen girls or even preteen girls, fascinated with but maybe a little scared of issues of sexuality. And the vampire story can be shaped for that kind of narrative too.
Back when Nosferatu came out in the 20s, vampires were very creepy and ugly. Well, really with the original Dracula, but into Anne Rice, they became these suave, debonair, charming leading men. How did that happen?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. The original Dracula book, you know, it was a British book, of course, but the main antagonist, Dracula, was an Eastern European. So there's a little bit of kind of maybe discussion about otherness and xenophobia that you could argue is going on with vampires. So Bela Lugosi, you know, in the 1930s, Dracula had this thick accent, but was kind of this mysterious sexuality too. And as you said, with vampire stories, you can have the horrific vampire, right? The vampires that are ugly and scary and monstrous. So that's another element that you can throw in there too. And of course, this all can be combined. You can have the romantic vampire that suddenly becomes very monstrous. And in a way, that's part of the fun of these stories as well.
This trend seems to be cyclical. It comes about every 10 years or so almost. Do we think it's going to die off anytime soon?
I mean, eventually it'll probably wane a little bit, you know, as the Twilight movie series completes its run. So this is the way it is. It'll die down. And then somebody will have a new take on the genre that'll be interesting and will capture the particular zeitgeist, and that will be another cycle.
Do you have a favorite vampire?
Well, you know, as a kid, I loved scary movies and I loved stories about vampires. My main thing was the vampire just has to be a really legitimate monster. So the Bela Lugosi Dracula was always too wimpy for me. So I liked especially the super powerful monsters.
Matt McAllister, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Matt McAllister is a professor of pop culture in Penn State's College of Communications. I'm Lindsay Whistle, WPSU.
I want to do real bad things with you.
For information on recent trends in vampire pop culture, check the links on our website, WPSU.org.